studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
And you know what's really special about Wednesday is that we are here.
We almost weren't.
Cliff, it's kind of interesting. I pulled in an all-nighter last night. I had a big, long meetings and whatever. And Cliff gives me a call and says, "Hey, you need to come to the studio." Why? Well, for one, you're the producer. You run the board, and we can't do it without you. I don't wanna. So here I am.
And not only that, I forgot that it was the time to do the show, and I left and went to town and got back at 5 minutes after one. I mean, after 12, rather.
So,
5 minutes after one is 5 minutes from now, so good luck.
That's right.
That's typical. We do things in the future.
We do. That's why we're so good. And in fact, not only did Cliff forget, so are some of our listeners. So if you happen to be listening to us on Saturday and wondering why we're not there, because we're here. And if you're listening to the archives, we're on Wednesday now at 1 p.m. Pacific time. Cliff.
Yes. It's amazing. It's how we just keep wandering around. I mean, we don't change it that often, about every year. But I mean, we went for about 2 years, didn't we, the first time?
Yeah, we do. And you know,
we've been doing this forever.
We try different venues and whatever, see how well it works. And again, you know, we always invite people to send us emails, talk@krbnradio.com, and especially tell us, you know, if you're listening to the program on the archives, which it's a little slow right now because of summer and other people are taking vacations. I want to. Anyways. You know, so it's a little bit, the archives are down a little bit in the summer. That's typical, but we get an average of 2,000 to 3,000 listeners per week, and it's always good to hear from you. And we're always curious, you know, when do you listen to the program? Because that type of information, I mean, we get some stats, but that type of information definitely helps us out on when to schedule to put on a live program. And hopefully sometime in the future we'll be able to do this multiple times during the week, but, you know.
Well, actually, interesting enough, the people that I've talked to so far as the archives are concerned, don't listen to the archives or don't listen to the program at any specific time.
Right.
Each week they'll listen to it at a different time, whenever they have time available. And so the archives are very, very important to us, and they're very important to our listeners because they can listen to them whenever they want to.
It's called convenience.
That's the neat thing about this as compared to terrestrial radio, if you want to call it that, is you almost have to be there when we're doing it, unless you have a recorder or something. But this is a little different. You can tune into us anytime and listen to it at any time, and you can make a comment at any time because you can do it by email. It's just really convenient to listen to the radio on the internet.
Yeah, you know what really makes this thing a lot better, Cliff?
What's that?
When people actually give us a call at 646-721-9887. I like the way I just slide that right in there.
Well, it's really nice to have them call us at 646-721-9887. But that's what we're talking about. You have to be here while we're here to do that. And if you want to do it by email, you don't have to do that. You can just give us an email message, and it can be a voice message if you want to. We can actually put that on the air too. I mean, you know, if you'd like to do it that way it sounds like you're here.
Well, we actually have a system set up called SoundCloud, which is if you go to the Blog Talk Radio /KRBN, way down at the bottom of the page, there's our SoundCloud link, which you can actually click on that thing and leave a recorded message.
Yeah, see, we try to make it as easy as possible.
That's right. Yeah, so it's so easy for anybody to participate on the program by calling 646-721-9887. And I mean, although we do appreciate people showing up in the chat room, we always encourage that too, because that's kind of cool what's going on. But we've had people from all over the U.S. call in using that 646-721-9887. I'm going to hype that up as much as possible, by the way.
646-721-9887.
Yes. And it doesn't have to be a topic we're talking about, which, by the way, we'll get to in just a moment what we're going to be talking about. Because if there's something that's on your mind that you want to talk about and you want us to talk about, or you want to talk about it with us, I can do this forever, you know. you can call us. So we do have some stuff in the news to talk about. We do have a What the Heck Are They Thinking segment coming up in just a few minutes. And there's a rumor and stuff that's been going over the Internet that I wanted to touch on a little bit too. But in the meantime, well, I'm trying to get things organized. It's Cliff decided that I had to actually come into the studio today and find what happened to the mouse.
Stop it.
I hate it when the mouse runs away. Even more so, I hate it when the cat runs off with the mouse.
I got a new mouse. Mine broke.
It still brings up the question that...
Oh, you didn't hear. This is of importance to everybody. I mean, in the entire United States.
Everybody?
Yeah, Computer Geeks has closed.
What?
They've closed it down. I was just absolutely amazed. I went there and clicked on, because I do this. I go click on it and look at new things and drool a little bit every once in a while. And I got a thing, and they've closed. They've closed for good.
Tell people that don't know what Computer Geeks is, what it is.
Well, Computer Geeks is exactly what it sounds like. It's an electronics store on the Internet. They used to sell all kinds of electronic stuff at really, really reduced prices, and they've just closed it up entirely. They can't do it, and can't continue to do it and make money, I guess.
Oh, that's a shame. That's where I get all my equipment.
Well, that's they've been there for 17 years, and I've been buying from them for 15. So, I've been getting most of my equipment from there as well. And the thing that was always nice about Computer Geeks is that I could rely on them, but not anymore.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah, that's too bad. Well, rest in peace, Computer Geeks, because they had some really good prices, and a lot of stuff was refurbished, but refurbished in the warranty, and for the most part, I've never had any problem with it. So.
I've bought probably 50 pieces of equipment from them, and I've only had two that weren't good. One of them that was kind of I don't know what you'd call it. It was a pain in the butt. But the thing, it was so cheap that they didn't even ask me to send it back. They just said, throw it away and we'll send you a new one. I don't remember exactly what it was. It was some little tiny thing. And the other thing, I did send it back, and they sent me a new one. That was one of these picture frames that has pictures in it. You can put pictures in it of your own, and they come up. It was about a 7-inch picture. It was kind of neat.
Yeah.
And the one I got that didn't work at all. Didn't do anything. And so they sent me a new one right away, and it worked.
That's cool. Rest in peace, Computer Geeks.
Yeah. Anyway,
you have got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Okay, this week's award goes out to the city of Oakland, California. And which, of course, anything to do with California is kind of awkward anyways. Cliff, when you're thinking about a weapon, especially like a blunt weapon or whatever, or something with a blunt edge, what typically do you think of?
With a blunt edge?
Yeah.
I don't know. Gosh. Because I would think immediately of a sword or a knife, but that doesn't have a blunt edge.
Okay.
Unless it's a dinner knife.
Well, this, according to IntelliHub, if anybody wants to read it, the city of Oakland, California now wants to ban any object that could be used as a tool of vandalism. This includes hammers, wrenches, slingshots, shields, presumably anything else with a blunt edge, such as garden rakes or sticks.
That's pretty blunt. Sorry.
Chan Pa, and I didn't have the text board up. Thanks. The city, according to the article, the city of Oakland is in response to recent protests in which angry mobs of people caused significant damage to local businesses. Because, you know, angry mobs sometimes tend to loot and burn, you know, and do, you know, they sometimes do nasty things. So the city council proposed an ordinance that would criminalize any the possession of any everyday object, including objects of professional tradesmen, such as hammers, large screwdrivers, walking canes, mechanics tools, etc. And claims that, of course, now on the practical side is saying that, you know, use of these objects will be illegal to possess during a protest. So if you got a bum leg, leave your cane at home.
Just don't go to the protest.
Yeah. And of course, they say that...
I used to live next to Oakland in San Leandro, California.
Uh-huh.
And it's one of those places where the people go there anytime there's anything wrong. I don't know why people try to... They seem to think it's a great place to gather is Oakland. And even more so than San Francisco, because Oakland is a little... Oakland is a bigger place as far as land mass is concerned. San Francisco is very, very constrained because it's on a little area there. You can't get off of it. But Oakland people go there to have their different possible, probable. They get upset. Anyway.
Well, anyways, the... Of course, the city is saying that there is no real definition of what's considered a protest. And they also say, well, because there's no definition of it, it means that police can invoke the ordinance at any time. And that's how the laws always go. And in a CBS story, Oakland Congressman Noel Gallo attempted to explain why he wanted to criminalize hammers, for example, saying the Oakland Police Department needs additional tools to help protect life and property. And he even said the word tools might have been a poor choice because, you know, if somebody's carrying a cane and they're in a protest and, you know, what they're going to do, have the police officer have another cane because they said they need more tools and you're going to have a little sword fight with two canes. But he also adds that the city council also adds that you are not allowed to protect yourself from the police. So they want to make sure that you are, you know, unarmed with...
I think there are other laws on the books already that could probably cover almost all of that. I don't find that a problem. As far as a walking cane, walking stick or whatever is concerned, some people do get a little carried away with their walking sticks. I've seen people carry these. They're standing there like huge sticks that they're leaning on, and you know, they could wield a lot of damage with those things. Just a cane, a regular little walking cane like I have, would be fairly easy to... Of course, my cane is metal, and it can make a real mess out of people.
Yeah, one of those that the top opens up and a little sword comes out?
Yes, I do.
Somebody somewhere would probably say that, that's illegal.
Well, that's not... I don't use it. I have one. I have one like that, and a sword comes out of it, but that's not the one I use actually to walk with. I do use a regular one.
You're not allowed to protect yourself.
Well, you know, I would have to agree with them, because when these people are out protesting, they're making a pain in the butt of themselves in the first place, and to have them out there with weapons, that's ridiculous. And as far as I'm concerned, they should all be put in jail if they're going to do things like that. Because, you know, to protest is one thing, but a peaceful protest is the only way it should be done. And if you want to stand up on a soapbox and yell or something, or speak, or if you whatever you want to call it, you kind of have to yell or people wouldn't be able to hear you. But that's okay. But to stand up on a soapbox and speak with a loaded weapon of some sort, that's ridiculous. Yeah. And people get carried away in their protesting. And that's where we get some real problems. And I don't think they need to do that.
Well, and speaking of people getting carried away, And I can understand the emotion behind this one. It's a different story. This one's from, again, from IntelliHub. As a result of new security measures, backpacks, hydration packs, and other items have been banned from an upcoming New York bike marathon. Which I guess they're concerned over the bombing. But I can understand the concern. It's just like the TSA and, you know, the bomber underwear or the bomb underwear bomber. You know, all right, I suspect your shorts may be wired, and
it's getting to the point that everything is going to be banned, and it's ridiculous. We're going to be so afraid of everything. We're afraid of our shadow, and we've just got to stop that. That we can't let that happen. We can't let everything be scary. I mean, what are we showing our young people, the children of the world? We're going to raise them up to be afraid of everything. And I'm very upset about that because it's not necessary.
Well, it's like, you're exactly right. I mean, it's just like the article here says, that 32,000 racers will not be allowed backpacks, hydration packs and saddlebags in the next tour. Riders are permitted to wear small fanny packs, bring water bottles, and bring bike frame bags. Checkpoints along the emphasis on the point of checkpoints along the route will strictly enforce these rules and confiscate items that will not be returned and will not be returned. The whole point is, okay,
well, I wouldn't go there if there was a possibility they were going to confiscate something of mine and then not return it. That's ridiculous. Right.
I mean, I understand the fact that, okay, now, you know, once bitten, twice shy. And I can understand that. I mean, something happened. There's always, you can leave the house and something can happen that you won't return.
Well, you know, we're being ridiculous about this because think about automobiles.
That's where I was going.
They're absolutely, they should be banned.
They're all dangerous. Cars are a weapon.
Yes, absolutely.
And I've seen it. I've been there assisting people that have been in accidents. I have seen what a car can do. I'm surprised they haven't banned motorcycles because motorcycles are dangerous if you don't know. Well, even if you know how to ride them, they can be dangerous. A little bit of pea gravel on the road can send a bike sideways or something.
Yep.
Like the other day on 105, somebody stopped suddenly at the congested intersection and I didn't see it happen, but the bike was messed up on the freeway. You know, I didn't see the driver, but, you know, it's leaving the house, being in the house is dangerous.
Well, you know, we've got to stop doing this because the fact is everything is so dangerous. I mean, like you say, walking out of the house you're in trouble and you're in danger because just fisticuffs, that can get you, you know. Somebody decides they don't like your looks and they start beating you up.
Right.
Look at Trayvon Martin.
Fisticuffs.
I mean, fisticuffs. Yeah.
Okay.
You can't depend on anything. So since you can't depend on any particular thing, you're going to have to. I mean, you're picking and choosing your fights right, at this particular point, and you're leaving out the major ones. As far as I'm concerned, and that's automobiles and a few other things that are everybody goes for, and nobody ever thinks about banning automobiles, period. But they should.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially, you know, they are dangerous. They can kill, and people forget that, especially with all the safety stuff in them.
Well, look at the people. They just recently in the news, I saw a thing where a guy drove into a crowd. I saw another one where this was I'm not sure if he was dead or what he was, but he drove into a store and just tore out the whole side of it, and nobody was hurt, fortunately. But you know, it sends people scrambling for their lives. I mean, people do that all the time. You see stories on the television about cars driving into buildings and driving into crowds and things like that. So you can't pick on, you know, your because one time in how many years something has happened at a run or a march or a bicycle race or whatever, you just can't make everybody miserable because of it.
Right.
And that's what they're trying to do.
No, you're exactly right. Like I say, it's the old saying about, you know, locking the barn after the horse got out. I can understand, you know, being cautious because of, you know, things happen, like same thing with the 9/11 or whatever. But, you know, there's a thing about going overboard. You know, you got crazy people in the world. In fact, something I got a demonstration at yesterday at one of the meetings I was at. I mean, if you really want to go to some place and drool, go to somebody that's really into technology and has a CNC machine in their garage, and in this case, three of them.
You work for a place like that.
Yeah, they got toys. And one of the toys that got demonstrated, which also kind of goes along with what happened in Oregon and around the U.S. here, is our governor, Kitzhaber, signed a law which would require local or law enforcement agencies to obtain a warrant before using a drone for surveillance. Now, what's interesting is there's the device I got to actually see in person, which is, by the way, cool as hell, is one of those multi-rotor devices, and they can fly up and just sit there in the air, and there's so much you can do. And this one had a camera on it with a stabilizer, and it was just so cool. But what we're talking about, watching this thing fly around, is they're so concerned about terrorist activity. You can get the one that I was looking at cost, I think, $700. For all the fancy things it did, and you can get a little bit more, you know, more expensive. They can carry a bigger payload, but it's so easy. They can do about 15 minutes. This one could do about 15 minutes of flight on a set of batteries, and it'd be real easy to, you know, take that flight over a venue and drop something on the crowds.
Yeah, they and they're not all that expensive either. Some of them you can get toys and adapt them to something for a little bit of nothing. I mean, it's amazing because it's not a basic hard thing to do, but before long they're going to have a rule or a law against that too.
Yeah, and by the way, speaking of drones, the FAA issues warnings about shooting at drones. So if you see a drone in the air, people who fire guns at drone are endangering the public and property and could be prosecuted or fined. The FAA warned on Friday, at least, you know. What they're doing is that they're, in fact, even says here, is in response to an ordinance under consideration. We did a What the Heck story on this about the tiny farming community of Deer Trail, Colorado, that would encourage hunters to shoot down drones. Well, of course, the FAA is saying, no, don't do that.
Well, I think we should eliminate drones of the United States. We don't need to have drones in the United States.
I agree. We have their uses. Like one of the positive uses that was discussed is if you're out there mountain climbing or somewhere in a dangerous terrain and search and rescue is looking for you, instead of bringing down a helicopter into a ravine or something like that to see if you're there, which is risky enough at $1,000 an hour anyways as far as cost goes, you can bring this little drone down with the camera and they can search for you or even bring you a radio or supplies or something like that down to you. So in that type of scenario, yeah, drones are very helpful. But just like with anything that can be developed, even a pop bottle can be considered a weapon or dangerous or however, depending on how it's used. Anything can be. So the whole point is that, you know, unless you're going to live in a glass house, which, again, somebody would probably find a way that that's dangerous, and you're going to wrap everybody in bubble wrap before they go outside, you can't be totally...
You can't do it. You just can't do it. You can't protect everybody all the time. All the people all the time is the point. Because it can't be done. That's like you take a look at any march, any protest march or otherwise, a bunch of people marching together, a lot of them are going to have backpacks. They're gonna, because that's the way people get things done. That's the way people do things nowadays. I mean, I personally, I'm old. I'm really old. And when I went to school, we didn't have backpacks, and we didn't. I never got into backpacks. But I mean, every kid in the world today, in the United States, carries a backpack to school. Mm-hmm. And you're going to say, no, you can't. You can't carry a backpack because you could have a weapon in there. Or for that matter, if you want to get technical about it, the backpack could be a weapon.
Yeah, it could be a weapon.
You can strangle somebody with the straps on the backpack, or you can, you know, put something heavy in the backpack and hit them over the head with it. I don't know. There's a million things you can do. But if you think along those terms, which some people are, you'd stop everything. I'm really upset because I've used to do sound equipment for a company that did big presentations, and they stopped us from doing anything. Because when you get a large group, you start creating problems. I mean, people don't all get along, although we never had any problem with them. Someone else did, and they stopped us from doing it. And that's ridiculous. I mean, we you know, it's you can't protect all the people all the time. Yeah. You've got to let them. First of all, we've got to expect people to think for themselves, to do things for themselves. And we're not. We're saying, you know, if you're going to have six people, it's a crowd, or if it's a protest, or it's a march, or something. I mean, you know, big deal.
Well, and speaking of that, I'm looking at news articles here. This one pretty much pertains to Oregon. When they make changes, this is on the I-84. They were redoing the project, and they did a lane change from. It was a three-lane with a Y split, and they decided to change it. Instead of a Y split, they got rid of the Y and made it so that the one lane is just a. If you're in the center lane, expecting you can go left or right, they made it so now you have to be in the total right lane. No warning signs. Congratulations, here you are. The traffic pattern has changed, and now they're saying that they're mad because drivers are making quick maneuvers to try and hit the off-ramp, which before they thought was there. And they didn't put signs up warning of the traffic change or whatever. So
that often happens, that you don't get any, or even if you know, how long do they need a traffic change? So if you make a change in traffic, change in how traffic moves, how long do you, if you do put up a sign and warn people about it, how long do you leave the sign there? Maybe I only come to town once every 6 months or once a year. How long do you leave the sign? Maybe I only came down to town 2 years and I missed the sign because, you know, you can't leave things. People have got to use their brain, and we've got to expect people to use their brain, and we can't protect people against. We can't protect against ignorance or even stupidity. You've got to be a little more. I mean, people have got enough capacity that they can think for themselves. And if they can't, then maybe they deserve to get in trouble.
Well, but on the other side of the coin, I used to do traffic control. And one of the things you got to think about whenever you make a change in traffic, what you do when you do traffic control, especially at an accident scene, is the way you set it up has got to be simple and has got to be very visible and something that is very easy to figure out. And by doing that, traffic easily follows the new pattern. But that's something, like in this case, that's something that sometimes they forget. I mean, on the way home last night, like I've always said, that Oregon only has two seasons, summer and construction. They're redoing the 105-126 road up here, the freeway. And they put these small cones out there that have reflective tape. They got temporary reflective tape in place of the stripes on the road. So basically, it's all lit up with reflective tape all over the place. And at night, it, you know, with the dark pavement and everything else, it makes it a little hard and confusing. And I got up towards an off-ramp, and there was a big gap in the cones, which looks like, okay, well, not only was there a big gap, but they also moved my line and stuck this line of cones right in the center of the roadway. And so now you're looking at this. I'm doing like 30 miles an hour on the freeway, you know, because construction. And going, let's see, if I go left, I'm riding the shoulder, and there's this big gap here, and it looks like a road, so do you go right? So I went right. And I went about 25, 30 feet and realized, oops, nope, not supposed to be over here, and got back on the other side. But because of the way it was laid out, you know, it looked like that's what you were supposed to do. So I went and, you know, back on the other side and rode the shoulder, and apparently that was the correct side. But it wasn't easily obvious for you to try and figure out, especially when you got traffic behind you.
You know, unfortunately, it's gotten to the point that we always have those cones, those reflective cones, those little cone-type things, and they're everywhere. I mean, we've got every place in the world, well, at least in the city, is being repaired or replaced or rebuilt or redesigned or redirected or whatever. I mean, we just came back from the store, and we went to Winco, in case you're wondering. So it was a long drive. And there must have been 10 places just in that drive from Winco back to the Cottage Grove area. There must have been 10 places where they had cones set up and had redirected traffic. And they're everywhere. I mean, you can't – they just try to do everything at once. And they've got to stop doing that. Either that or we've got to start spending time and money on people instead of cones so that the direction can be.
Well, they forget, like I'm saying, is that I'll give you a good example. When I went and got my commercial driver's license, they make you maneuver around a bunch of cones that when you're standing in them, doesn't look like that big a deal. Okay, here's an obvious lane. But now when you're up in your car, and you're looking at it,
yeah,
it looked like just a bunch of stuff stuck all over the place, and it's hard to pick out a pattern. And
yeah,
that's like last night, and that's one of my bitches moans about some police departments when they set up a traffic control some places, that they forget about that and make it confusing.
And they do that, and it's hard. It's confusing to do it just with cones anyway. To try to direct traffic with, there's too many places that you can go. Get people in there. That's what we've got people for. People can actually make it a lot easier to follow directions and to understand where you're going than a cone set there.
Exactly. I mean, when I was in North Dakota, I wanted to slap the local police department, figuratively, of course. because they don't know how to direct traffic. In fact, they created a dangerous incident. Short story, then we'll get into more news topics, by the way. I'm driving with a fully loaded tanker. You know, fortunately, it's just fresh water, but still, tanker is unbaffled, so it means it wobbles a little bit. And I'm doing speed limit, and I come up over this blind hill, and there's an accident out there, and there's two patrol officers with traffic set up. But you don't see it until you come right up over the hill, and boom, there it is. Well, you got a ditch on both sides. It's a two-lane road, ditch on both sides, and the only clear lane is oncoming traffic. Thank God there was nobody coming, because there would have been no way in hell I could have stopped that truck that fast, loaded, and I would have had to go into the ditch, and I probably wouldn't be talking to you right now. But the point was that because they didn't have a patrol car, they didn't use common sense, they didn't have a patrol car or just leave a flare out to indicate that something's going on over this little blind hill, like I say, thank God nobody was coming, because I'd had to make a choice of either running into the accident, which I wouldn't do, plowing into an oncoming car, which I wouldn't do, or hit the ditch, which would be my only choice.
I wonder if these people are given any training on what to do in a case like that, and on how to put together a detour or a diversion or whatever. I wonder if there's training given to officers or whoever.
I wonder, but you never know. But anyway, 646-721-9887. We actually do talk about other things besides what's going on locally and in our personal stuff. And that's why we always encourage you to call in 646-721-9887. And again, if you missed the program, you can always comment or even suggest a topic by sending us an email, talk@krbnradio.com.
I'll give you a quick one. The Powerball jackpot is now at $425 million. Have you got your money spent? Have you spent your money on your ticket?
I have not. And I know that I know it's a detail thing. You know, you can't win the lottery unless you spend the buck or $2 or whatever it is now.
Well, I'm going to say this. I had a great idea, I think. I mean, Powerball jackpot at $425 million. Nobody needs to win $425 million.
I do.
Granted, when the jackpot starts getting that big, everybody runs out and buys tickets. Your chances of winning that are unbelievably minuscule at the best. I suggest that what we should do when it gets up to that kind of money, that we should give it away in $10 million increments. So you could win $10 million. Now, $10 million, yeah, you know, when you're talking about $425, it sounds like it's a measly little amount. $10 million, even in today's money, is a lot of money, let's face it. And so we could have 42 people winning $10 million.
Well, of course, remember that, you know, even if you win $10 million, by the time you get through paying taxes, you probably get half or one-third of that. But here's the argument I always get a kick out of. Even the, I think in Oregon, the minimum, after winning, the minimum is what, 20 million or something like that?
Somewhere around there. Somewhere.
Okay. The thing I always get a kick out of is that, well, unless it gets up to 100 million, I'm not spending my $2. It's not.
Yeah, that's ridiculous, because what are you going to do with $100 million?
Well, the thing, my point is that give me the minimum. 20 million, 10 million, 1 million for a buck investment?
Mm-hmm.
I'll take
mm-hmm.
it. I can live quite comfortably on $100.
Well, I don't know how comfortable I could be, because that'd go fairly
right now.
Yeah, that's true. That's like I'm saying, you know, give it $20 million each. It just makes it, if you be splitting it up a lot of ways, and I would think people would be more than happy. In fact, more people would be attracted to it, because your chances of winning would go from 1 in 425 million to 10 times that. I mean, it'd be amazing how much better your chances of winning would be than the way it's set up now. But I don't know. I assume that somewhere along the line they've tested that and people don't want to do it or something. But
right.
That's my opinion. That's how I think it should be done. But anyway, I decided to let people know. $425 million, that's the biggest Powerball jackpot ever. It's the fourth biggest jackpot of any kind of game that they've had, in the United States at least, ever. So it's a thought.
Yeah.
And you wait until 1:30 before you run out and spend your money, though.
Okay.
Today is the day that it's the drawing. Well, Wednesday and I think Saturday both are the days that they do it.
So what you're telling me is to wait until at least we're done with the program before rushing out, since the fact you had to call me and say, hey, you need to go to work.
Right.
Let's see that detail thing. But anyway, speaking of fun stuff, of course, our favorite topic is the big mouth in the White House and what he's doing.
You get me started.
Because
right now,
this guy, I mean, Cliff, you've heard the term paper tiger, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a good movie.
Yeah. But paper tiger is basically, and that's unfortunately, and I feel really bad about it, is the, is what the U.S. has become. You know, we make our threats and don't follow up on it. But now, where Obama is snubbing Vladimir Putin over the Snowden issue, it's like, come on.
Well, somebody had to help Snowden. Edward Snowden, the United States has been after him, I granted, and we want him back, and he's leaking secrets from the National Security Agency and so forth. First of all, the National Security Agency has made it very apparent and very clear that anything he has leaked or has to leak is no big thing, because, you know, it may be a problem and it may be create a little problem here and there, but there's nothing major that's going to affect the United States that the man could leak. If he had information that he could possibly leak, it would be changed by now, because he's been out there yelling and screaming and trying to make a name for himself for quite some time now. So the fact that the Moscow, Vladimir Putin, has said, okay, we'll give him temporary asylum in Russia. Well, yeah, it's no big thing. The thing is, our president, President Obama, has canceled a planned meeting, a meeting in Moscow with Vladimir Putin. I'll get it out. It's not easy.
Professor, you have no excuse.
Really? Anyway, the thing is, you just can't do that. You can't, at a drop of a hat, snub the president of Russia. And if he was upset about that, I wouldn't blame him a bit.
Right.
We've gone out. Our president doesn't think what he's doing before he does it. I don't think he has no. Well, he has no brain, as far as I'm concerned. He just goes out and does things to whatever he wants to. He says things. He opened his big mouth about the Trayvon thing again at the end, and we should have kept his mouth shut. He can't keep his mouth shut. He has to have his opinion. And the thing is, it's not just his opinion. When he makes an opinion, it takes takes on the weight of the whole United States with it.
Exactly.
He thinks he's
a rock star, a superstar, you know, because I know it's obvious that he's enjoying the attention and the luxury and everything that the privilege of his office is giving him, and of course a lot more than he did when he was senator. But here's the thing. For Charlie Sheen to get up and say something and get the attention, that's one thing. That's Charlie Sheen. Or I'm just pulling that name out of a hat. I'm not really picking on Charlie Sheen. But, you know, if you take Charlie Sheen and compare his position, you know, for being a celebrity, compared to Obama being the president of the United States, they both have different responsibilities. I mean, one is just, okay, here's a celebrity viewing his opinion, big deal, it winds up on the talk shows, blah, blah, blah. But the president of the United States, when he opens his mouth, he is representing the United States. If he
right.
comes out and favors a certain brand of toilet paper, that's going to make headlines and make a huge difference on sales of toilet paper,
right.
depending. But you can't. You got to number one, respect the office, and that even goes for the person that's in the office. Respect the position, and do it responsibly. Like they said on Spider-Man, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. The thing that annoys me about this thing with Snowden is that. During the 9/11, when we decided that we're going to go after Bin Laden and, of course, got sidetracked on other things, we didn't seem to care that much. Not as much as we are trying to get Snowden.
I don't quite understand what you're saying there because we don't care about Snowden.
No.
I mean, the fact that he can go there, that's just, you know, the people, he doesn't have anything to say anymore. He doesn't have anything worth leaking anymore. So there's no reason that we care about him at all. And yet, that's why I think it's a slap in the face for President Obama to cancel that meeting. He shouldn't.
Right. Well, look how it looks to the world. I mean, there's a lot of countries that a lot of people in other countries that want asylum over here in the U.S., including, you know, our immigration problem, and here we got somebody that left the U.S. that snuck out and is asking for asylum to get away from us, and we're reacting this way to him. You said, all he did was just announce that hey, the National Security Agency is monitoring cell phones. Okay, well we kind of knew they were anyways, all the way back to landlines that things were being monitored and that there is devices that intercept. The microwave, and they're looking for keywords and et cetera, et cetera. All he did was bring it to light and it kind of embarrassed the NSA a little bit. And now we got a manhunt on him like he's a – I wonder if he's on the FBI's most wanted list now.
That's a good question. I don't think the FBI is that stupid. They don't follow along with everything that Obama does. It's just Obama's – big thing because, you know, right, Edward Snowden is, I mean, what he did, I don't think it really even, it embarrassed somebody for a while. But, you know, the United States is not so stupid that we couldn't have changed whatever it was he's told people about to make it be nothing. I mean, we've got people they're in there doing all that. Well, I don't know what you'd call it. I don't want to, you know, if he gave out a code, then tomorrow the code would be changed.
Exactly.
And it's a simple matter of doing that. And Edward Snowden is doing this in public. He's not sneaking around and telling somebody this code. He's not, you know, telling John this code and hiding it from Joe. I mean, he's doing this in the public, in the news, in the media. He's everything he does is well known by everyone. So it's easy to know about it and to change it. And I don't know. You start diplomatically snubbing people, and you're going to be in trouble.
Exactly. In fact, I just went to the FBI's top 10 list, and no, he's not on here. In fact, what's kind of interesting, if you go to that right now and look under the top 10 most wanted, what's that kind of interesting is the 10 people that they're showing, there's only one person that's got a really big smile on their face in the photograph, and that's the one that's captured. So that's a little funny.
Okay.
It's also kind of interesting, too, that if you look
at it. Are the top 10 most wanted are people we know?
Not personally.
No, but I mean, in the news, I mean, are there people you've heard of?
No. But that's kind of interesting, too, when you look at the menu, is that, you know, they got the usual stuff, you know, contact us, about us, most want us, scams and safety jobs, and fun and games, where you can have the FBI avatar, you can have wallpapers with a dog that's smiling and wagging and winking at you and you know, motioning around. Now, here's the question. If you want a wallpaper, you know, especially an animated wallpaper on your computer, would you get it from the FBI?
Well, the FBI is kind of an interesting place. They're neat people in a lot of ways. So if I were going to do something like that, I might. I don't know.
Well, the reason why I ask that is because, you know, viruses can come from live wallpaper. And what better way to get something into your computer voluntarily than to go to the government and download a live wallpaper?
Well, that's why I don't have any kind of wallpaper. I don't do anything to get viruses in my computer if at all possible. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I mean,
but a lot of people have virus. I mean, have wallpaper. I mean, that's a big thing.
Right. I don't know. I wouldn't do it just because. Not that I'm saying I don't trust the government, but I'm saying they have a track record.
Well, yeah, it's not a matter of trusting them or not trusting them. Can they? Do they have somebody on there all 24 hours a day to clean it up? I mean, this virus thing, I get so upset about that because there's no necessity for it. I mean, the only way I can think of somebody making money at creating a virus and distributing a virus is if you also owned the virus antivirus company. You know, if you owned an antivirus company and then you went out and created your own virus to clean it up with, that's fine. Yeah, that way you can make money. But how do you make money with a virus?
I don't know.
It's got to be absolutely just nothing more than a pain in the butt to have it on your around. I think we should be I think we should be more nasty with all of the things that we do. When we catch somebody giving a virus, my first comment would be they should be shot, but that's just my funny little way. But we should make them, you know, a virus, a person who distributes a virus or anything like that on the computer should be put in jail forever. Mm-hmm. Forever. I mean, I think that's an important thing that we shouldn't just have.
Or better yet, personally, have to go and personally fix all the computers that they damaged.
No, that's too easy. That's too easy.
Oh, it's time consuming than just sitting there.
That's true. It's time consuming, but it also doesn't get things done fast enough. You know, the virus can be. I mean, they should be required to create the the antivirus for that virus and then still put in jail forever.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like somebody that does graffiti, you know, like on the overpass, and you get caught instead of just getting a fine or whatever and 30 days in jail, which you only spend 20 hours there. Is it, okay, part of your sentence is you created the mess, you're cleaning it up.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of times I've heard of a lot of judges that do that. That's up to the individual judge. But again, we just don't give hard enough fines. We don't give hard enough detain them or doing something. We've got to do more to them when they do something wrong like that. We just ignore it and we don't let it, no big thing. And it can't be no big thing. It has to be something.
Right. Well, one thing I wanted to touch on, which is one of the stories that was on the docket today, is that, you know, we're talking about how they find out about things, is that there's a rumor going around on the internet, and you know, I always get a kick out of these because I like to, when I hear this stuff, well, just in general, I try to get to the source as much as possible. You know, like if you know, the news services say that the president says this, you can go to, anybody can go to the White House website and look at the exact transcripts of the president's speech. And so I like to dig down that deep whenever possible. Anyways, this is going around on Facebook and other places, and of course other people, fear mongers, I would say, are blowing this all up to proportion. Anyways, headlines. The Department of Homeland Security says it is illegal to freely play live music in the United States, is the headline, and says that the enforcement of the Department of Homeland Security is now demanding through enforcement from the state fire marshals that all live music played in the United States must have a permit from the Department of Homeland Security. And, of course, you know, the reactions to that headline is, well, it's outrageous, blah, 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 blah. Well, that turns out to be false. However, and I got a small story behind that of other things they're doing, but the real story behind that is that there was a bar in Musco, or Musuni, I'm pronouncing it wrong, M-U-N-C-I-E, Indiana. Bar operator, local authorities, he got into a battle with them over an entertainment permit. And apparently the Indiana state law, which is the Indiana's Department of Homeland Security and Fire and Safety Division, you know how small places are.
How does everything get to be called Homeland Security? Everything is, I mean, that doesn't mean anything anymore.
No, just like they abandoned the color code of the alert. Well, today is a plaid alert day. Okay, great. It's plaid. What do we do? I don't know. Should we wear a hard hat? Yeah, who cares? It's going to be the day. So they gave up that version. I think what it was, they wanted to do a little Star Trek. Red alert. Anyways, like most, the majority of towns and cities and states, they have ordinances. If you're going to have a live event, you know, there you have to get a permit, and there's rules, and you know the occupancy size, and you know all types of regulations. But anyways, this bar owner decided that he just occasionally played music by his band, which is I guess just a bunch of friends of his, and the city came in, or the state came in, and said, you need a permit to do this. And he says, why? I don't do it that often. Well, that's not the point. And so because it was an outdated law, and he decided to fight it, and the agency that's doing it is, like I said, the Indiana Department of Homeland Security. All people hear is Department of Homeland Security. So then they hit the internet saying all live music has to be monitored by DHS. Well, anyways, during my investigation, which is kind of interesting, getting back to what Cliff and I were talking about earlier, DHS has arrested a lot of people for streaming live music in other venues, a lot of it from the NBA during live events that they're streaming. And then the question comes down to, okay, you're sitting there with your cell phone broadcasting this thing live probably to YouTube or whatever. How do you know they're doing that?
Well, see, it's becoming a really important thing now because everybody can stream. Everybody can broadcast live. Everybody's phone, they can take it and they can just hold it up and broadcast to the world. And it's becoming an important thing. This idea of playing music and the idea of having to have a permit or a license or whatever, RIAA has been been battling for that forever because they want to get their royalties for all this kind of stuff. So it's been against the law to play music in almost any venue for years. You have to have a permit. And so consequently, the fact it's being diluted. So many people can do. See, that's again what the internet has done. It has made a huge change in how we view things. I mean, I turn almost anything and I get music. Now, where does that music come from? You know, so many times, in fact, it annoys the hell out of me when I bring up a web page and it automatically starts playing music. Everybody wants to do that. They want to have music. Where does that music come from? Is that licensed or not licensed? If you're out playing your own music, if you wrote the music and you're playing that music, you can do it if you want to. But if you're playing anybody else's music or a part, even if it contains a part of somebody else's music, you've got to have a license to do so. You've got to be permitted to do so.
Exactly. But again, it brings up the question, too. I mean, despite the legality of it, and the fact that if you go to the DHS website and look at some of the recent activity that they published out there, there is a lot of people that have got arrested for at streaming NBA, and particularly NBA, because that's big bucks, for one thing.
Yeah.
Even like Oregon here, when the Ducks are playing, you know, which I got an opinion on that I won't share. You know, big bucks, so they're, you know, rebroadcasting that in any form. They get kind of upset over. But again, the question is, unless somebody is caught, you know, holding their cell phone or their camera up in the air and making it really obvious that they're recording this, and, you know, physically get caught, with the number of people that actually got caught and cited or arrested for doing this during the events, how does the DHS know about it? Unless, of course, they're picking up the signals. But, you know, in a venue like that, like a was a large crowd, I'm sure that if you were to put a spectrometer in that area, it would just be crazy with signals coming from everybody's cell phone. Because you can have a cell phone that you're not using. Most people don't know this, that you can, even the old, like I got a Razor flip phone. That thing is broadcasting randomly when it checks in with the cell. And
yeah.
Cell sites the cell sites periodically, they'll ping the cell phones, or the cell phone itself will go, I'm checking in. Or especially if you move around, you go between cell sites, when it loses the signal, it goes, okay, well, here's another one, so I'm checking in to this new cell. So it's constantly, well, not constantly broadcasting, but it broadcasts.
Well, that's why it's doing it, because if it were constantly broadcasting, you wouldn't... Excuse me. Your battery would last about 10 minutes.
Right.
And it does this. It just goes and puts out, a little ping and gets back in a bit of advice, nothing now. Then it goes on, off again. Yeah. And it's ridiculous. They're constantly doing, almost every cell phone or type of communications device does that.
Yeah, that's how it knows when you make a phone call, that's how it can find you. And then on a smartphone, if you're syncing your smartphone, like, you know, checking your email, checking your Facebook status, you know, it does that either randomly or like on my smartphone. You know, I get the option how often I want it to do it. And so you can be driving along and, you know, if you have it once every hour and go, okay, I'm going to go check in with this service. So now I'm broadcasting a request, say to Facebook, and Facebook, you know, which is going through the cell, which is going through or whatever, and then coming back, so it's broadcasting. So electrically noise-wise, I'm sure a spectrometer would go crazy. But
now, I see these people going on these television shows. They go into places and say nobody can find them, even they're carrying cell phones and all kinds of different communications devices. Almost every one of them does that kind of a thing. If you were carrying any kind of a communications device, or you couldn't go anywhere without being found.
Exactly. That's why they say that the only way, even when the cell phone's turned off, well, it's called a soft switch, which means that it's not a hard turn off. You know, which means that the circuit's still live. It's just, you know, not fully everything's not just fully powered, but it's still on. The only way you can really guarantee your earphone ain't doing anything is to take the battery out and hope that there's not a filter capacitor in there that's keeping a residue charged long enough for it to still work.
Of course, if you don't have the capacitor and you have your battery out, then all your programming, all of your things that you've done to that phone are gone.
Well, it depends if it's volatile memory or not. Most is non-volatile. I can't even talk.
If you take your battery out for a length of time, I don't know how it can be anything but. Anyway, you've got to be careful because, you know, the thing is, if you're going to be going someplace that you don't want to be found and you don't want to be caught, people kept following you in there, then don't take your cell phone or don't take any kind of communications device because it's gonna tell on you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, yeah, if you think you can go somewhere without being caught or without being tracked, yeah, good luck. You know, the only other way to get around that is to go in naked, and that brings fear in itself.
Yeah.
Same thing like going through, speaking of DHS, an interesting conversation that I had yesterday, you know, the engineers that I was in my meeting yesterday, these are high-level engineers, and including some other projects that they do that are, well, I can't talk too much about what they do, but when we got into a conversation regarding like this new camera that's in our area as part of the intersection reconstruction, it's a weird camera with night vision, and my research, which of course is research that's available to the general public, which means what they tell you and what they don't tell you is two different things. One of its functions is to count the occupancy of the people in the car at the intersection, which again, okay, why? And so I was talking with my friend about that, who's, like I say, a high-level engineer. And he was saying that, part of it is, now he's not saying particularly this camera, so don't put words where it's not, that there are more and more cameras going in that has a license plate and facial recognition that are fixed-point cameras, in addition to cars. And he's telling me about this because for a company he worked for, wrote one of the programs that does that, and he actually got a chance to test that out. So it was kind of interesting. I'm not saying that's what that is, but you know, it could be. And speaking of, I want to take a quick pause here and let's take a phone call from area code 661. So welcome to the program.
How's it going, sir? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you fine. How you doing?
Good. I just tuned in, so I'm not really sure about what your topic is. Can you fill me in a little bit before I comment?
We got a lot going on. We've been talking a little bit about Obama snubbing Russia over Snowden, DHS, and their security forces.
Well, I have a great opinion on Putin. I think Putin is a great man, and I mean, look at what has happened in Russia recently. They have legislation now which would ban these gay pride parades and ban people from indoctrinating young people under the age of 18 about this so-called lifestyle. But here in America, we're promoting it in the schools. We're promoting it in our military. It's like everything is gay in America. I mean, if the story of Sodom and Gomorrah in the Bible is true, I think that God, looking at modern-day America, owes those two cities back then an apology, because I have never seen a more degenerate country than this modern America, and I don't know what I did in a past life to deserve being born into it, but I've had it. It has to end. I mean, it's just this Uncle Sam has brain cancer, multicultural brain cancer of the fourth stage. He's already got one foot in a grave right now, and I see no future under this regime for my children. Now, I'll bring it up right now that I am white, I am a European American, and so are my children, and I see no future for my children in this country at all under this regime, and it has to end, or my children will have no future. See, I care more about my children than I care about some stupid regime out in Washington, D.C. Can you understand that?
Well, just out of curiosity, where would you go? Obviously, you can go now to Russia, but where would you go to live?
How could I go to Russia, sir? I don't speak Russian. It's a Category 3 language. How am I to learn that at the age of 45? Please
explain. you say you don't want to live here. You don't want to be a part of this culture. So consequently, you want to go somewhere else. Where do you want to go?
To kind of go along with that.
This is my country, not theirs.
Right.
So why the hell
should I leave?
Mexicans, people from the toilet should leave. Right? Shouldn't they leave instead of me?
How did we get to Mexicans? We were talking about gays a second ago.
That's because there's 30 million illegal aliens in our country. 30 million, and the vast majority are Mexicans who crossed our border illegally, like breaking into our house at night. Now, I think they should leave, not me. What do you think? I have ancestors going back to this country 14 generations, sir, 14 generations, and you're telling me to leave?
Yeah, I am.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Bring the Mexicans in and replace us.
Anybody with as much tripe to say as you've got, I would love to have you leave.
You can't debate me, sir. All you can do is call me names, sir. You cannot debate my points. You cannot debate.
I haven't tried to.
Because 30 million Mexicans are ready to become citizens with this bipartisan legislation.
Can you ask me how do we get them out?
That's really cheap. What in the hell is your problem? I mean, what is your educational level that all you can do is throw an epithet at me?
Have you got some way in mind of how do you have these people leave? How could you get them out of here?
Well,
how do you move 10 million?
I do. In 1954, President Eisenhower, who was a real conservative, started Operation Wetback. And they forcefully removed these people using the Army and the Civil Service. They got rid of a million of them in just the year 1954. It can be done.
At that rate, it would take us 30 years to do it.
Well, on a side note, Britain is doing something similar right now. Britain actually has bands driving around saying that go home or be arrested, and they're really cracking down on illegals up in there. So they're trying that program right now with moderate success.
We have to make a stand, gentlemen. We can't give our country to these mongrels from third world toilets. Our children need a future. They deserve a future. When our founding fathers created America, go ahead.
Well, to kind of get back to your original point about gays in Russia, there is something that's been in the news this week, and it's about the U.S. is urging Russia to accept gays. Because like you said, and it is true that it is illegal to be gay in Russia, but the U.S. is trying
to
tell Russia.
No, it's not illegal to be gay. It's legal to proselytize to people under the age of 18. That's what it is.
But anyway, so we're trying to urge Russia to ignore their laws for U.S. citizens going over there. And it's like, you know, we're not going to ignore our laws, or shouldn't. If somebody comes over here, they shouldn't get a free pass over our laws.
It's stupid. I mean, it's like saying if somebody visits the U.S. from Azerbaijan, oh, we can waive the rules on bank robbery for them.
Exactly.
It's preposterous, and I wish Putin would just tell Obama to go to hell.
Well, he's almost in the process of it now. I mean, Obama's given him good reason to, that's for sure. I think it's absolutely absurd that Obama...
Go ahead.
I accept the most respect for Putin.
Yeah, and like I said, as far as the world is viewing us, what Obama's been doing, it's embarrassing, I think. But then again, what do I know?
we have to blame stupid white people for making Obama president, because 5 years ago when he first got elected, there were lots of white people that saying, I want to prove that I'm not racist by voting for Obama. Well, I'm going to tell you gentlemen, doing something to prove you're not racist is the dumbest thing you can do. You do things because they're right, because they're moral,
right?
Not because they're not racist, whatever that might be. I'm tired of this goddamn word. I'm tired of people being led around like a sheep with a nose ring by this word. People just need to let words go in one ear and out the other.
Exactly. I think Obama has done more to put racial tensions in than he actually helped. In fact, if you disagree with him, you're a racist.
Well, see, I don't really care anymore. And as a matter of fact, I work for a pro-white media conglomerate called thewhitevoice.com. And he has been the best recruiter for our website there has ever been. He's also a pretty good recruiter for the gun shops, too, from what I hear. But I think what he's doing is great. And if I could have a third term for the guy, I'd vote for him again, because he is splitting apart the races. He is making it obvious to white America what they're getting themselves into. And what we're getting ourselves into is eventual genocide, because right now in South Africa, the white population is down to 10%, and the white people are being hunted like big game by the blacks. And there's no recourse, because the police are black and the judges are black and everything else is black, and they can just do what they want. It's genocide. Even Genocide Watch, which is an NGO, has rated South Africa a 6 on a scale of 7, where 7 is actual genocide. And they're saying that once Mandela dies, it's going to be open season on the whites. And that's what's coming here in America, because every year the white population of this country is dropping by about 0.5%. And that's going to add up. We're barely a majority right now, if we are. And this South Africa future is what we have to look forward to. If we keep promoting this country and keep trying to, put the paddles on a patient that's dead and juice them up with the electricity, even if it was possible to save America, which it is not, I wouldn't help, because America is a den of iniquity. It's the den of anti-white policies, and it's just going to be toxic for my children. And like I said in the beginning, my children's future is non-negotiable, and my children's future comes first. And I don't care what names I'm called, racist, Nazi, anti-Semite, whatever name it is, I don't really care anymore. Do you understand that I've come to the point I don't care about the names? Can you guys understand that?
Well,
if somebody has come to the point where they can't stand it, where the names have no effect on me anymore.
That's fine. That's your opinion. And names don't bother me either. I don't worry about names because they don't mean anything. But the philosophy behind them, I do take a little bit of opinion on attention to the philosophy behind some of the names. I don't feel that we need to remove anybody. The illegal aliens that are in here for the Mexican people that are such a huge amount. I've tried to think of various different ways of convincing them to leave, and the easiest way I can think of convincing them to leave is to simply enforce our laws. If we enforce all of our laws, they're not going to want to be here, and they're going to go home on their own. And that's
you're right.
I don't understand why nobody understands that. I don't understand why none of our government people understand that, our president, any of those people, they don't understand. We already have the laws on the books. Why change them?
Exactly.
Well, and also,
I agree with you totally.
Let me throw this point in here real quick. Is that you here in Oregon at least? You go get a driver's license. You have to show a birth certificate. If you're an illegal here in Oregon, just recently or undocumented, however you want to phrase it, all you got to do is show you've been here for a year. Obamacare, you are exempt from Obamacare if you are not a citizen in the United States. You know, like
maybe
Rush Limbaugh said, how do I go into the shadows? Because it seems to be more of an advantage to be in the shadows than it is to be out in the open.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you a little story about my own self when I was a few years ago when I was in the Army. Back in the early 90s, in 1991, I passed through El Paso, Texas on my travels, and El Paso, as you know, borders on Ciudad Juarez in Mexico. And I crossed the international bridge and did some shopping on the Mexican side and had a lot of fun, really, to be honest. And then when I was coming back on the bridge, I noticed all these Mexicans crossing the river. And this river was, like, green-colored because of all the sewage in it. It's just a big ditch, really, they dump sewage in. And these Mexicans were wading across. And on our side, there was a big hole in the fence, and they were just walking right through. And I could see from the very high point of that bridge almost like a constant line of them in a straight line. And in a distance, I could see a building that had a big sign that said, Autobuses a Los Angeles, which means buses to Los Angeles. And this was during the presidency of George Bush the First. So it doesn't matter whether it's Democrat or Republican, this bird of prey has two wings, red and blue, but the destination stays the same. So, you know, I've seen this right in front of my face, and there wasn't even any border guards even trying to stop them. It was just, you know, I was almost tempted to do it myself just to prove, just for the laughs. But because I'm a good swimmer, but I wasn't willing to get in the green water. So this is how our country, we were born, this was our country, and it's being purposely given away to people from foreign toilets, third world toilets. And these people cannot maintain a first world civilization. Just look at what happened in Detroit. All these silly conservatives make up these lies about 50 years of liberal rule destroyed Detroit. That's a lot of bull. It's something but hiding the real reason. Detroit was multiculturalized. It's currently 91% non-white. These people cannot maintain a first world civilization. I don't really care if somebody calls it, it's racist, but it's true. Just look in Africa. All these great cities that Europeans built while they were colonizing are now in shambles because the natives cannot maintain a first world civilization. And as long as we go around saying that all people are the same and we all bleed red and we're all God's children, that obfuscates the differences. We are different. Not saying somebody is better, but different.
Cliff?
I would have to probably, in a way, agree with that. But as far as I'm concerned, we need to go about it in a legal way as far as – and I'm still stuck on the fact that we need to just enforce the rules because the laws of our country are – if we were to enforce them, we wouldn't give away all this stuff. We would, you know, partly what they come over here for is medication or medical help. And our country, we give medical help to anybody who needs it. Well, there's got to be a rule there. There's got to be something there that says, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to give medical help to anybody who is not a citizen, for example. And all those people, we've got the laws in place. We've got to understand them and use them. And that's my whole answer to the thing entirely. It's stick to the rules.
Well, you're absolutely right.
Well,
there are no more rules needed. There are enough of these immigration rules. And I live in South Central Indiana. And many years ago, before Obama was president, I used to stand in front of mills and factories with signs that said, please report all legal aliens at your workplace. And I gave the phone number because they would enforce the law at that time. Well, when Obama became president, he totally cut ICE. He denuded it. He ripped its balls off, literally, sorry to say. And I was told by a state senator, Senator Delf here in Indiana, who was the major proponent in pushing through an act on illegal immigration about 3 years ago, he told me I'm wasting my time. He says that even ICE is not allowed to talk to him anymore. So he says he gives me an A for effort, but a D for F for results, because they're just not going to enforce the laws. But I'm telling you, this is going to happen whether it's a Republican or not. If Mittens Romney, that vulture capitalist who has been sending all these jobs overseas as part of his job at Bain Capital, if he was president, it would be the same thing. But that's why I'm happy about Obama, because a system that is patently and explicitly anti-white needs a colored face. You cannot imagine how it has made recruiting for me at the White Voice so much easier since Obama became president. We have whites who are jumping out of off the shelves nowadays to join us.
That's possibly true, but I'm hoping that isn't the reason that we keep. Well, of course we can't keep him in there. I'm very, very, very happy that he has to leave after this particular term, and we'll find somebody else to put him.
You're going to get the same thing.
Well,
do you really think things are going to change? Come on, really.
I think they're going to change quite a bit. I think they're going to change quite a bit because I think this man is absolutely. He's too dumb to believe. I mean, he doesn't have any intelligence at all, and he's trying to live off of somebody else's. See, I don't believe Obama was put in there by anything he did. I believe he had a large group of people that worked very hard to get him put in the position, and you're right,
so
they're not going
to
go away. I believe they're not going to go away, but we've got to change the way that they think. A little bit, anyway.
Well,
and I think we can change a lot of ways.
Sir, how can you change it when you're going to legalize 30 million Mexicans, 90% of whom are going to vote Democratic? After this law happens, we're going to have a one-party state for real because the Democrats will not need to cheat anymore. They'll not need to have the dead vote or people vote several times or whatever. They'll win every election fair and square with these 30 million illegals once they're citizens. That is, we're gonna have a one party state. That's the bottom line.
We don't have it. It hasn't happened yet today, and I'm hoping that it won't get to that.
Well, I think it's coming soon because.
Also,
sir, the white vote that votes for the Republicans has been decreasing. McCain got 54% of the white vote. Romney only got 52%. And I didn't vote Republican this time. I voted for the American Third Position because at least they stand for my people and my heritage. So once these 30 million Mexicans get legalized, and it's going to be the Republican Party hanging itself.
I'll agree with that. If that
I think the relationship of the white community to the Republican Party is something like a bad marriage. It needs to get a divorce because the Republican Party is a spouse that constantly cheats on its spouse. Because at these campaign rallies and Tea Party rallies, they throw out a little bit of pro-white rhetoric here and there. But when they get to Washington, they do the same thing. They want preferences for blacks and Hispanics, racial preferences. We have a legal immigration system that lets in 1 million a year. And of those, European people are only 10% of the legal immigrants. 90% come from the third world. So you have to ask yourself, if this is the case, how can you say that white people were in charge in this country?
A couple of things here real quick. Let me throw in there that, first of all, they're assuming that if the Democrats go ahead and like you say, make, with 11 million or 30 million or however million, that they're all going to automatically, reward the dogs, or the dogs going to reward them and or whatever, vote Democratic is an assumption. And secondly, some illegals that have been interviewed by other talk show hosts are saying they don't want to come out of the shadows because they don't want to, when they go and make their money, they want to keep it. They don't want to be illegal and have to pay the taxes or come forward or get into the system. And then once that happens, if you do legalize, say, 11 million people, which is a popular number, now you've just put everybody else in the same laws as we all are, and all these businesses that are hiring these people for under, really low wage or slave wage or whatever you want to call it, go away. So they're not going to want that either.
The fact is that we do need to do something with the amount of people that are being slave trade in the United States. But the thing is, they're here working for that kind of money, because they want to be. I mean, they worked very hard to get into this country because they want to work for that little money, and we need to let them stay here. But I think we should take all of the guards and all of the everything, all of the fences off the border and let it happen. But we need to go back to the point of changing that we use our laws to govern our country. But at the same token, go after the companies that are hiring the people at that kind of a wage. Don't go after the people themselves. When we stop hiring them at that kind of a wage and don't hire them at all, then they're going to go back. That's the only way
to get them back. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. The only way to get them to go back on their own is to make them repatriate themselves when they can't find a job here. And that was the intent of the Indiana legislation I spoke about, which made E-Verify part of the hiring program, at least for some kinds of employers. But as long as you have these two parties in power, Democrat or Republican, you know, pick your wing of the vulture, nothing's going to change, because the Democrats want these Mexicans here as voters, okay? And the Republicans want them as cheap workers.
Well, the Republicans, I agree with you, are probably about to become a thing of the past, because they're not putting across their point effectively to stick around. I don't know. We're getting less and less and less Republicans. But on the same token, not everybody agrees the way the Democrats do either. So what's going to happen here? I'm very curious as to find out what's going to happen here.
Well, and I think that in the society...
Well,
Oh, go ahead.
What is going to happen is that the stranglehold or relationship that the Republican Party has with its white base is going to be broken. Once these white people see what the Republicans betray them in Washington, D.C., in legalizing these 30 million Mexicans, they're not going to vote for Republican again. See, I already gave up that years ago voting for them because I caught on to what they were. But this is so blatant that they're not going to be able to hide it when they vote bipartisanly to allow this. So I think it's going to cause the Republican Party to cease to exist as a viable political force, and it's going to cause third parties with a pro-white outlook to start cashing in on the white vote, as they already do with me. I vote for the American Freedom Party now, and I will keep voting for them, because I have to vote my conscience, and I have to vote for a party that has my ethnic group, you know, in view.
Okay, we're running out of time here, so just out of curiosity, what was the website that you have that, go ahead and give it one more time, and we'll call it a day.
Oh, yeah, my website that I work with is called thewhitevoice.com. That's thewhitevoice.com, and we want you to check out there as well. Well, our new book that our main host put out called Murdering Multiculturalism. It's a frank, honest, candid, and decent discussion on the racial problems that Americans are dealing with right now and a possible solution, because the current system we have cannot go on forever. It's going to collapse. Every multicultural empire of the past, Yugoslavia and Russia.
Well, we've got to call it a night. But thank you for calling, and hope you come back again someday.
At www.krbnradio.com, or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.